Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Faith Focus Weekly Discipleship Podcast. My name is Kevin Rognes, and I'm the Discipleship Director here at Faith Covenant Church. I just want to recommend that you always hit the subscribe button, make sure you don't miss any of our content, and also leave us a review. That helps us to know how we're doing. Also, I list my email address in the show notes, so if you have any questions, comments, concerns, please let me know about that and let us know what you'd like to see on our podcast. So today, you can see I have a guest with us. Well, not a guest. You work here, too. So
I do,
really,
yes. I do.
Yeah. You're not on the podcast as much as I am. So
yeah, true.
That kind of makes you a guest. This is Pastor Brad Kindle, if you don't know.
Hi there.
So, or if you're listening, that's who that voice is. So
yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I'm looking forward to our discussion.
Yeah. So today we're doing just something really simple and straightforward. You know, we're often talking about how we can disciple people and help spread the gospel and share the word and share our own testimonies. And so today we're kind of doing that. Brad and I are just going to share a little bit about how the Bible has changed us.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just thinking, so a disciple is a learner.
Mm-hmm.
So that's we're going to talk about what we've learned,
mm-hmm.
And while this is going to be a simple conversation that we can easily talk about it, the profundity of what we're going to talk about is it's mammoth because mm-hmm. what we're talking about are passages that literally change the direction of our lives,
mm-hmm.
and I would even argue have brought healing in many ways. So while this is going to be a fun, free-flowing dialogue, it's really powerful stuff what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. And so what we're going to do is, we're just sharing a couple of passages for each of us that have changed our lives. And this may seem kind of like an artificial entry point into the conversation for us because it's on a podcast and we just decided that this is what we want to talk about. Mm-hmm. But in a real-world scenario, and we were talking about this yesterday, we can create conversations like this. Like mm-hmm. the thing that you suggested yesterday is, you know, if you're talking to someone who's maybe not a Christian or not a believer or has maybe walked away from their faith for some time, a conversation like this could just start by saying, what's a book or a movie that has meant something, has changed something about your life?
Or a quote or a thought, you know.
Somebody who's influenced you.
Yeah, we are all affected. It's fascinating. We're all affected by words.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's an easy conversation with just about anyone. Let's make sure this isn't tactic just to get you to become a Christian. This is a way of getting to know someone mm-hmm. in love.
Fostering relationships.
Yeah. And then in the midst of that, we get to be who we are.
Mm-hmm.
If they should ask, well, how about you? You know, and then you can say, well, you know, there's a passage from the Bible that really changed me.
No.
And so these are dialogues that we can have with any person on the face of the planet, as long as we speak the same language. But you can kind of do Google Translate, I guess.
Yeah. Well, let's just dive in then. And so I'll ask you, what's one passage that's changed your life?
Well, and forgive me if you're a Faith Covenant Church person. Forgive me if you feel like you've heard this numerous times. So the first passage is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, bring your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. And so I'll never forget, I was at summer camp. It was a Covenant Church Bible camp in California called Alpine. We had a counselor, John, and just before we all went to bed, we had devotions, and that was our verse for the night. And I, up to that point, as a high school student, I was a kind of anxious young guy, and I really just wanted to do things well. I was, you know, kind of an overachiever in ways that often weren't healthy.
Mm.
And I often had, you know, I had stomach aches and, you know, just this anxiety manifested itself, even though, you know, I came from a home that was loving and, you know, I didn't have huge problems. But I did suffer from a fair amount of anxiety. And I'll never forget John, the counselor, he said, you know, that first statement, do not be anxious about anything, is a command. And it just, a light bulb went on into my head. Went on in my head. That God didn't want me to be anxious. Mm. And up to that point, I kind of felt like, well, it's kind of my job to be thinking and, you know, be worrying about stuff. Because if I'm not going to worry about it, who's going to worry about it? But the command is, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, bring your request to God. And then there's a promise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And so I took that really seriously, and I memorized the verse, and it really began to lead toward a toward healing. My next verse I'll share with you in a bit, but it kind of brought me to a place where I was like, okay, I get to take my hands off the wheel. I'm not, God doesn't want me to be an anxious person, and that was a great gift.
Yeah.
How about you? What would be your first verse you'd like to share?
Well, the first one that I'll share was one I kind of read back in, well, I mean, I'd probably read it before, but back in 2009, I had just graduated college, and then after college, I didn't really know what I was doing with my life. Mm-hmm. I ended up getting an opportunity to go to grad school at Kansas State University in Manhattan, Kansas, which is a far less interesting Manhattan than Manhattan, New York. Not to say that there aren't wonderful people there. There were. It was a great time. But yeah, when I first moved down there, I moved there sight unseen. I'd never been to that city, and I just drove in with my truck and had an apartment, and I was like, whoa, I'm just moving here. Didn't know my roommates, didn't have any church community, all I knew is that I was there for school. And up to that point in my life, I'd had a strong faith. I'd grown up in the church. But over the previous few years, like in later high school and into college, I'd been fairly complacent and not really doing much to grow in my faith, even though I firmly believed in such. And so when the first couple weeks in Kansas were really rough for me. I didn't know what I was doing. The grad level coursework was just much more difficult than I anticipated. And I was teaching undergrad classes, and I didn't know anybody. I was trying to make new friends. I was getting involved with the campus ministry, and I was trying to, you know, center my faith for kind of the first time in my life. But it was just a lot, and I was just really stressed. And I'm like, what am I doing here? I've made the wrong choice. And so in my devotions, I came one day to Jeremiah 6, and this verse, Jeremiah 6:16, says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And reading that, I just suddenly had such peace because I realized that I'd been at this crossroads for a little bit. I was at this place of like, okay, I had a moment where I could have gone back home to Minnesota and dropped out of grad school and quit and done that, or I could do this path at grad school or that path at grad school. You know, I was at a crossroads in so many different ways, socially, spiritually, and just kind of realizing, okay, no, wait, I'm making my faith a priority kind of for the first time in my life. I'm asking where the good paths are, where the good way is. I'm seeking that ancient path, and suddenly I just had peace. I was like, oh, God led me here. I'm here. I'm making Christian community. I'm going to be okay. And that was a couple weeks into my time there. And suddenly I just felt a peace in being there. And that's kind of when I started to be like, this is fine. I can do this. This is good. And I'm a little wary because this verse happens in a very different context than what it was in my life. We want to be careful about not cherry-picking verses out of Scripture and just applying it to our life because it makes us feel good. But at the same time, there is a universality to this of, like, when you're at a place of indecision, when you're seeking God, you will seek peace. That's true regardless of whatever the context is. And so, yeah, that was just a really, really pivotal passage for that point in my life when I was kind of trying to redirect myself in a way.
Well, and one of the things I like about that is while the path we would choose that God would lead us to is going to be somehow connected to the ancient path.
Yes.
You know, we don't that one of the things we have in Christianity is a solidity of that we are born of a story that is tried, has been tried and tested for centuries, and there's you know, the church goes off the rails and Christians do dumb things, but staying on the path of Christ, and we get that imagery also often throughout the text, throughout the Bible, of being on a path and having God's word be a light and a lamp. And one of the things, you know, if you're lost in the woods and you're like, what am I looking for? If you find a path, suddenly you're like, oh,
found something.
This is very helpful.
Yeah.
And a path only exists because people have been walking it for a long time.
Well, what's a passage, another one that meant something for you?
Yeah. So we go from high school, and now I'm in college, and I had this amazing experience. I had a mentor in college that every morning would, he lived in the college I went to, we had faculty condos, and they were nice. They overlooked the ocean. It was beautiful.
Ooh, sign me up.
Yeah, it's a nice deal.
So they still have that? Can I go do that?
Yeah, I guess. So it's a long story, but he had a practice of sitting in silence and stillness for an hour and a half to 2 hours every morning. Mm-hmm. And he invited me to join him up there.
I mean, I feel like I could do that if my condo was facing the ocean.
Yeah, it helps. Yeah. And so I would go up there with him, 3 to 4 times a week over a 6 month period. And we would just sit in silence and stillness. And that was, you know, that was kind of an outgrowth of me understanding that God doesn't want me to be an anxious person. And so if I don't have to be anxious, then I can sit in silence. If you're anxious, it's hard to sit in silence.
Yes.
But within that time, you know, I think he saw that I was an ambitious young college student, like every other college student there, maybe. And, but I think he also knew that I needed some, you know, kind of a master's direction. One morning after we'd been sitting in silence, he gave me Galatians 2:20. And, Galatians 2:20 says, for I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. And so that was an interesting... So in college, I thought I was there to build a big Brad, to build a me, you know? And he gave me the great gift. He's like, no, absolutely not. You are not here to build you. And there's this great gift in the disciples' journey where we understand that it is God's desire that we live in him, and it's not about us. For I have been crucified with Christ, that's a death of Brad. Crucified with Christ. And so the death of Brad, I'm still, and the journey's still, you know, the death of Brad is still continuing. but it was a great gift. Suddenly I'm like, okay, I don't have to build a me. I don't have to build some life that people get to look at or anything. The great gift is letting go and saying, it's not about me. It's all about Jesus. And that's where the beauty comes from. That's where the purpose of living comes from. That's where the freedom comes from. And so I will say that verse was my favorite verse probably for the next 30 plus years.
Oh, wow.
Right? If anyone asks me, what's your favorite verse? Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. Galatians, you know, said it over and over again. Here at Faith. Yeah. How about you? What would be your second one?
So second one, I've shared this story on a much longer episode of the podcast, but for many, many years, I was wrestling with coming to terms with my sexuality and the realization that I was attracted to men. Mm-hmm. And throughout that wrestling, I still firmly did believe that God's design and intent for marriage and sexuality was that they be shared between a male and female in a marriage relationship. Mm-hmm. And I never wavered in that, but I was still deeply insecure and just had a lot of guilt about just having that attraction.
Sure.
I, for a long time, I didn't know what to do with it, and it was just a secret that was eating me up alive. And then sometime in 2013, I just started feeling God saying, you need to share this with people because this is destroying you from within. And the verse that kind of finally pushed me to kind of open up and share, well, the verses, I should say, was 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10 here. It says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there is given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me." And pausing there, I mean, obviously I related to that because I was like, God, take this attraction away from me. Yeah, I don't want this. And I kept, you know, I prayed for that more than three times for that to change, and it didn't. And then Paul continues saying, "But he," the Lord, "said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'"
So good.
Oh, and like, that was, that passage made me realize that in trying to keep that part of my life a secret, I was denying God an opportunity to do something, to do something in me, to do something through me. And that was a Holy Spirit conviction. And so that finally started the process of me opening up and sharing, and that took a while. You can go back and watch that episode of the podcast if you want. But it was just, I found such freedom in that, in realizing that I don't have to fix who I am. I am in God's hands, and God will do what he will do. He will heal what he will heal what he will heal. And sometimes healing does not look the way we want it to, or the way that we expect it to. But when we see something in ourselves that we don't like, or that is difficult, or that feels shameful in the moment, or maybe it's just a circumstance that has nothing to do with who you are as a person, but it's a situation that you're facing, those are all opportunities for God to do something. And that's, for someone who's had such a pessimistic outlook for most of my life, it's a very optimistic thing to kind of look at a situation and say, this is really difficult or challenging or whatever, but this is an opportunity for God to do a God thing, whatever that may be. And in the years since I began opening up about myself, I've experienced that time and time and time again. It's been a little over, it's been almost 11 years now since I started that process. And I've just seen God work in me and through me in so many different ways. And I'm just continually looking forward to how what I once viewed as a weakness or a hardship or a persecution or a difficulty is now something that I enjoy getting to talk about, because God has just done so many awesome things. And I'm just like, this is awesome. Let's just keep doing this.
And so, I mean, think about the great journey you've been on, and the you know, walking into freedom, and you wouldn't have had that if you hadn't, if God's word hadn't spoken to you. And it's not just like God's word suggested something. See, we in Christianity, we believe this is an authoritative word, and because it's authoritative, we get to let it change us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's you know, outside of that, I think people often end with what I would call shoot from the hip living. You know, well, I'm just kind of guessing as I go here, and again, it's an ancient journey, it's an ancient path, it's an ancient story, and it gets to have authority over our lives in good ways. I mean, you found freedom.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what's one more passage from you?
Yeah. So this is really new.
Ooh.
Yeah. This is my new favorite verse after.
So with that, it should be noted, pastors don't come to us fully formed. They are still forming and so still true. Being changed by God's word.
That is so
true. As you are studying and preparing to share with us, On Sundays, you are being changed.
Right. And
you better be anyway.
That change we call sanctification.
Yep.
And sanctification is God's work in us, making us more and more holy, set apart for a sacred purpose, that's what holiness means, and conforming us to the likeness of Christ. And I think part of this is just a season of life for me, why this hit me so hard. And this all goes, for anyone who cares, this all goes hand in hand with reading the Brothers Karamazov by Dostoevsky, which is my new favorite book for all time. Anyway, so...
Other than the Bible.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, good point.
Just to clarify.
So this is a familiar verse that I had read numerous times, but I always kind of stopped midway. So here's the verse. It's Psalm 27:4. One thing I ask from the Lord, which is big. One thing, the writer says, I ask from the Lord. This only do I seek. Okay, wow. So this is important stuff. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Okay, now I'd always kind of stopped there, and I've thought, okay, that makes sense. Dwelling in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that sounds like something wonderful. Absolutely, I'm in, you know. I have agreement. But here's what he says, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. And there's another Dostoevsky book called The Idiot, which is actually an ironic title. And one of the phrases that goes through the book that's famous is, beauty will save the world. And that has always kind of stuck with me since I read it. But this idea here that God is so, his beauty is enough to sustain an eternity in his presence. And I've come in my heart and mind and in my daily life to think, you know what? That's all I want. I just want to be with the Lord, and I want to gaze on his beauty. He is that rich and meaningful. I mean, there is no beauty outside of who God is. Everything we see that is beautiful is springs from the God who is love. And it's kind of redirected my life and in such a beautiful, profound way. How about you? What's your last one?
Well, one more passage for me that has, I mean, there's more, obviously, than just three.
Yeah.
But one other one that's kind of changed the course of my life was not long after the process of starting to share and open up about my life. So this is about 10 years ago that this passage impacted me. And it's how I chose to go into ministry, actually. Throughout my life, people had... leading up to before starting ministry, people had told me they could see me being a pastor, and I always resisted that because I was like, I don't want to do more school. Part of it was that spiritual insecurity. I felt I didn't feel like I was good enough and all those kinds of things. But then after I had started sharing and opening up and experiencing freedom in Christ, suddenly that felt like a path that was opened up to me. And it was actually at my sister's college graduation, I was watching the graduates walk past the stage, and I was like, I want to graduate again. Which was weird because I hate graduation ceremonies. But yeah. I was like, I want to go to school again, which is weird because I also didn't want to go to – like,
yeah.
I wasn't like a guy that was like, I love school. I mean, I like the structure of it. But being there, I was just like, I feel like I need to be in school again. And I, when I'd finished grad school in Kansas before I moved back to Minnesota, I kind of knew, like, if I ever go to school again, it'll be for seminary. But that's probably not until, like, a, you know – 2-3 decades down the road when I'm having a midlife crisis and decide to have a career change kind of thing. But then suddenly I was like, oh, maybe I do need to consider ministry. And so like I went home the night of my sister's college graduation and I started looking up like MDiv degrees, Master of Divinity degrees, and what it would take to go through seminary. And I was feeling crazy because I was like, I don't want more school. I just got done with this a couple of years ago. I don't want more. But yeah, so then the idea just kind of kept percolating in my mind, and I shared with a couple of people. I'm like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And And then one day in my devotions, I came to Galatians 1, 6 through 10. And Paul here is writing about false gospels. And he says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Mm. And it sounds like a kind of discouraging thing to have change your life, because it's all about like false gospels and like people not teaching and being condemned for teaching a false gospel. But what hit me about that passage is I am surrounded by a culture that is teaching me false gospels.
Mm.
I am surrounded by a culture that is teaching false gospels, and I have seen time and again people in churches teaching false gospels on some level. Not the churches that I was in necessarily, but in other churches that we saw, and being so deeply frustrated by it. And this passage that I was reading it suddenly just put this burden on me of like, there are so many false teachings out there. Somebody needs to be out there combating that. Not that I can do it, let alone I don't have the skills, but I mean, that to me was confirmation of, you know, you have a passion for knowing the Bible as well as it can be known and for helping others to do the same. You know, you can't necessarily fault people for believing false things if they've been given false teaching. But you can help people to learn the Bible better than what this is describing. And so, I mean, on that level, it changed me, because then it changed the direction of my life quite literally, because it was like, oh, okay, so now I'm going to spend a bunch of money to qualify myself to make less money than I'm making now. I was like, yeah, that's a life change transition. But I just thought, this is worth it. This is what God is calling me to. So at the same time that it kind of was part of the inspiration of what pushed me towards seminary and towards ministry then, it was also kind of something that keeps me in check.
Sure.
Because it says false teachers are condemned. So it really puts, not a burden, but a responsibility and a motivation to make sure I stay in the Word and don't get complacent with it, to make sure I'm continually being formed by it, so that I'm not accidentally falling into a false teaching, so that I do what it says here of like trying to please men. Like, I'm not out here to tell people what's comfortable and make life easier for them.
Yeah.
That's not our job.
Right.
We teach the Bible correctly. It's our job. We lead people towards Christ. And so, yeah, it was kind of a two-part thing of kind of pushing me towards seminary and towards ministry, but also trying to keep me invested in my own formation and making sure that I'm still submitting myself to the Word. So,
it, you know, if, what this compels me to do with the Bible is, if let's say, so we just talked about false gospel, true gospel. You might be watching and you may, might be wondering, okay, what is the gospel? Well, let me give you a place where you can find it. And maybe we could close with this. 1 Corinthians 15 is one of the best, most concise explanations of the Bible, of the gospel. 1 Corinthians, written by the Apostle Paul. And let me get there. And here's how he starts. He says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you. Gospel means good news, which you received and on which you now, and in which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. And then here's where he begins to explain it. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, And that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And then he goes on to talk about resurrection and give understanding of resurrection. And then he ends by saying, because of all these things, well, here I'll read, he ends the chapter, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So because of the good news of Jesus Christ, and that good news is that Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day. He's alive, and he has been resurrected, and he is going to resurrect us and his creation. And because of that, we are fellow laborers in the good news. Sometimes people look at the church and they say, you're like nothing but bad news. And actually, it's actually the best news the world has ever heard, that mm-hmm. God's crazy in love with you. He's done everything necessary so that you can be saved from all the brokenness of your life and your sin, my sin, the sin of this world. And there's new life, mm-hmm. resurrection life that does not end. That's pretty amazing. And I'm grateful that you've been called to ministry, and I'm grateful for God's word that continues to guide and direct our paths.
One more note about gospels too. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of gospels out there. Like, yeah. in a way, almost everything is a gospel of some sort.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The Republican Party has a gospel. The Democrat Party has a gospel.
Yeah, they all have good news.
yeah, movies have a message that they're mm-hmm. trying to share. I'm part of a movie group, and one of the questions that we always come back to at the end of the discussion is, what is the gospel of this film?
Mm-hmm.
What is this film trying to tell us? That's something that can be an interesting conversation starter, but it also kind of focuses us back towards the true gospel, the true message of Jesus.
You know, I have a podcast idea.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we should do movies that have changed our lives because they are true according to the gospel. Movies or books or something like that. That'd be fun.
Oh, and we could do that with the whole staff. We're just kind of a little brainstorming session here. If you love that idea, email me. If you hate that, and if you want to participate in that series, we would love to have you.
Yeah,
I think we'll do that.
Gavin and I both love books and movies.
Yeah. Lord of the Rings, we talk about it. So, so that's what we want to talk. We just wanted to share about what has shaped us and what is continuing to shape us. Because it's not over.
That's right.
Not over until it's over. So if you would like to share some of the things that have impacted you, please let us know. We would love to hear your stories about God has moved, about how God has moved in your life. So if you ever want to share a testimony, I would love to do that. Mm-hmm. So anything else from you?
You know, you just said share a testimony. I would encourage you to link your story and Kimberly's and Roger's. And it'd be fun for maybe some of the watchers to, if they haven't seen those stories, that'd be compelling.
So I'll do that. And so regardless of whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on a podcast episode, I'll put those links in the show notes that you can get to those. So
very good.
All right. Well, thank you, Brad, for joining us today. And thank you all for watching or listening. Have a wonderful and blessed day.